The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good to see each of you. We missed you. Thank you, everybody, for filling in for us while we weren't here. The B team does pretty good, I'll tell you. Yeah, we enjoyed it, so from afar. So it's the Christmas season, so we're all kind of, I noticed some Christmas colors and the decoration of the building. Thank you for those who decorated the building. It looks great. Got a Christmas tree up. We didn't have to invite Jesus. He showed up with or without the decorations.
There you go.
Amen. So we're going to have a good day today. Danny McGregor is going to be our featured speaker today. Had a lot of good comments about Bruce Olivier's message last week. So that was good. And it's always nice to know that when I'm out of the state, that those who fill in do a good job. I wanted to be here when Danny spoke because I don't trust him. That's not true. That's not true. I knew I was coming back, but makes it easier for me if I don't have to come back and prepare a sermon. So it gives me a little more time to get everything done. I need to get done when I get back in town. So with all that said and done, our worship team is back and front and up and down. All right, so they're here. So let's pray and we'll get started. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, how good it is to come into the house of the Lord. Can't think of a better place to be on Sunday morning than to be in church. And Lord, it's a great tradition around the world. There are churches from giant cathedrals to little storefront churches just like ours who gather together on Sunday to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we join our voices with their voices, that it might be a great crescendo of praise that rises to the heavenly realms. To let you know, Jesus, let you know that we love you and we appreciate you. Let everything that's done this day be pleasing to you. And for those who are watching over Facebook and over the internet, that they might be blessed and experience you as if they were in this building with us today. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In the wonderful name of Jesus. And the kids say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Earl.
Oh,
Hey. shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, they shone a holy light. Tangled on the mountain, hope on the hills, and everywhere. Jesus Christ.
And we hear your mighty voice.
Your presence surely is in this place. Lord, as I think about the Christmas season coming up, it was prophesied that when you came, that your name would be Emmanuel, God with us. All the things that you did for us, and they're countless, the fact that we're not alone any longer gives us all peace. And in the trials and tribulations of life, that you are with us, you see us, you see examples of that where you said that you heard the cries of your people. And I know that in our world today, with so much dissension, so much confusion, so much indecision, so much fear, that you come alongside of us and you hold us and you tell us over and over again, fear not, for I am with you. And be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you with my own strong right arm. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Your compassions never fail. They're new every morning. You see our going out and our coming in, our rising up and our laying down. You see our joy and our sorrow. And you are always mindful of us. Lord, we might get busy. Troubles might get our attention. Seasons might get our attention. But you are ever mindful of us. What great joy that is. What great peace. No wonder the angels announced on that day of your birth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Pastor Morris, can I share something?
Yes, go ahead.
I know we all are really disturbed with what's going on, but there's one thing God says. He takes what's bad and turns it for good. Yes. That's the hope we have. Yes. All the things that's going on, I believe God's going to rise up and turn bad, which we see, and he's going to turn it for good.
Amen.
Because that's his way, and that's his promise.
Yes.
That's his promise.
Amen. That's good word. Good word. Thank you, man. That's good word. Good word. Hallelujah. You know, you'd think that one day we would learn to not be so worried. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody very famous, is a minister, and I can't remember who it was right now. Oh, I know who it was. Clark Winton. He wrote the book Pure Grace, and he's pastor of, now retired pastor for Grace Church in Orlando. And he made a statement in a sermon I heard him preach. He said, the one thing that I wish that I had done differently in my life was to not be so fearful of things that I didn't know about. And well, that's a pretty poignant statement from a very well-known, powerful man of God. See, fear attacks all of us. Somebody sent me something this week that said that fear is an emotion, but courage is a decision. And we can have courage in Christ, be courageous as he watches over us and cares for us. So don't be afraid, little flock. The good shepherd watches over his sheep. He makes sure we have plenty of water, a good place to lay down. Gives us a nice banqueting table. He likes to put sweet-smelling oil upon us. And I love the end of the song, which says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, just next week, God willing, if we have another week, and I'm never sure about that, next week I'll be started a mini Christmas series, and I'm going to deal with the subject of that we just spoke about. We really need, probably more than any time, maybe in a long, long time, in our national life and in our world life and our own personal lives, to be mindful of the Christ child. So we'll be talking about that for a couple of weeks. All right, and I think it'll encourage you. I got encouraged just thinking about it. You know, just and all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, and I think most of us wish we didn't have to go through that. But it is a time that we stop and remember that Christ came to bring us peace. Amen?
Amen.
Last week, Bruce Olivier filled in for me. Did a great job. And this week, I've asked Danny McGregor to come and share. I appreciate Danny and his wife. He's a great addition to our church family these last couple of years that they've been here. And Danny is a student of the Word of God. He loves to study and search things out. And I'm always, whenever I've heard him, he always brings a good word from the Bible. I always tease him when I know he's preaching. I said, you know, remember to use the Bible this time. Just to harass him a little bit. Because I know he's a Bible student. So, Danny McGregor, come on up here, Danny. Even more red for us.
Red green. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. I'd like y'all to pray with me. Father, I pray for my words today and my thoughts to have clarity.
Yes.
Father, to bring clarity from your word. I pray, Father, that the word would not return void, Lord, and that you would just be with us and guide us. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the title of this message is We Are Three, and I almost titled it The Things I Almost Got. And part of that is, just what I just prayed. You know, John 16:26, Jesus said, "In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf." You know, again, things that I almost got. Right there, just in our everyday prayers, we're to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. It's little subtleties like that that are always, they're right there, but you don't quite grasp them. And I've been saved since, I guess, I was 15, and that was the first time I ever read that. And it's like, you know, just like I said, little subtleties. Jesus instructs us to pray to the Father in his name. And I wondered, how many times have I prayed to Jesus? Not that that's wrong. But that kind of brings us to a word from our sponsor here. You know, how many, and I dare say everybody in this room, has ever done something and really tried to power through it, and power through it, and power through it, only to have somebody else come along and do something so simple? You know, how many mechanics have tried to get gum out of a carburetor and worked and worked and worked on it and then realized there's a can of brake fluid up there and that'll eat that right out? You know, or one of you ladies trying to get a big one of those nasty labels that they stick on something glass that you want to have pretty, and you're trying to get all that glue off of there, and you scrub and you scrub and you scrub, and then after you do it, somebody comes along and pulls something out from under the counter and says, "Here, try this," and it wipes right off. Yes. Folks, that's what this word is to Christians. You know, we struggle as Christians with spiritual things, with temporal things. And we struggle and we struggle and we fight. And the answers are in here.
Yes.
And that's kind of a prelude to the conclusion of this message today. The goal of my message today, probably the only time I'll tell you, let's listen to Crazy Uncle Joe Biden. Crazy Uncle Joe said something early on in the campaign that to the world sounded nuts, and I've said this to you before. I choose truth over fact. You know, to the world that might seem crazy, but this word is truth. And my goal today is to convince us, and when I say us, you know, the few times that I've been asked to speak, the messages are at least as much for me as they are for whoever's listening, but to convince us to believe the truth of the word over the fact of what we hear, see, taste, smell, and feel. To go for truth over fact, spiritual truth. And again, this word is the key to that. It's the key that unlocks all of that. All right, the requisite for where I'm going with this is that we have to understand that we, when I say we are three, we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. I didn't get that for the longest time. I always equated spirit and soul as being one in the same. And I dare say that I wasn't alone like that. And I had, at that time, and it was fairly recently, I was going to Brother Rick Newt's church over at Crossfire. And he preached a message on that, and you know, it just it opened up my eye, and it was in front of me the whole time. I had read it, I had seen it, I had heard it, but I'd never heard it expounded on, and it never clicked. Hence why I said I almost named this things I almost got, right? But Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow." Spirit and soul are not the same. And my hope for today is to distinguish what all three are and what roles they play. So, why do we know that we have a spirit, soul, and body? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's in there for a reason. You know, we all know that we have a body, we can touch it.
Yes.
We all know that we have a soul, we can touch it. We can touch other people's souls. But we are not capable of touching our spirit. I can't touch your spirit. I can't touch my own spirit. Jesus said, John 3:6, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit," capital S, if you've heard me speak before, I'm big on watching capital letters and things. They mean things. Little jots and tittles in the Bible change meanings. "But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What that's telling us is that those two operate in different realms. The flesh cannot touch the spirit. All right. And then the heart is kind of a fourth thing that's similar, but not the same. The heart is similar to the soul, except that it speaks more about what motivates a person, Whereas the soul also incorporates intellect, memories, feelings, and experience, right? So the heart is kind of a generalization about the things that motivate us. All right, so what is the spirit? Our spirit, you know, not the Holy Spirit, but what is our spirit? There's two words for spirit in Hebrew. One was ruah, which means breath, and the other, Pastor has spoken on before, and that's pneuma, which means breath or wind and spirit. And that's the spirit that we're going to talk about here, is pneuma. You know, in Genesis 2:7, it says that God breathed life into Adam. That word was pneuma. Okay? And let me kind of throw out kind of an example here. Spirit, soul, and body is kind of like, there's different ways you can look at it. You can look at them as three chain links with spirit, soul, and body. And the spirit doesn't touch the body. The spirit has to go through the soul to the body. Or you can look at it kind of like an onion with spirit in the center and then another outer that's the soul and another outer that is the body. But again, the body doesn't come in direct contact with the spirit. They are separate. Hence, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay? What is physical death? It's when the spirit leaves the body. And what is spiritual death? Spiritual death occurs when we remain dead in our sin and when the soul and the spirit separate themselves from God. Okay? I always find little interesting things that are factoids or tidbits that pique my curiosity. Animals. Do animals have spirit, soul, and body? And, you know, this you can take or leave. It's not something doctrinal to hang your hat on. But through studying this, I believe that the answer is yes, they do. Again, soul, well, we haven't really described what soul is yet. But, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up to that, okay? Let me give an example about something spiritually with animals. Balaam's donkey. You know, Balaam was one of God's prophets, and he was told to do something, and he was rebelling. And he was kind of out for hire to use God's power for no good. And he was riding a donkey and came upon a gate. And his donkey saw an angel with a sword. Balaam didn't see it. Three times, Balaam tried to make that donkey go through that gate. And he beat the donkey and cursed it until God opened his mouth. Scripture says that God opened that donkey's mouth to speak to Balaam and say, "Why are you beating me? You know, have I not been a good donkey, etc., etc.?" And then the donkey spoke, and at that point, God opened Balaam's eyes. What's notable there is that God didn't have to open the donkey's eyes. That donkey was able to see that angel. And, you know, there's other vague references in the word that speak to that. But, again, that really opened my eyes a little bit, okay? And then in Ecclesiastes 3:21, it talks about the spirit of the beast. And it's the same pneuma, it's the same spirit that is used to describe when God breathed pneuma into man. So anyway, take that or leave it. Again, that's not something that anybody's gonna miss heaven over if I'm wrong, but I found it interesting. Another thing about the Spirit is that when we become born again, what part of us is it that's reborn? When you were born again, when I was born again, I was ugly. I'm still ugly. My thinking, which is part of my soul, at that point, my thinking didn't change. It wasn't my soul or my body that was reborn. It was my spirit. Yes. So, again, you know, little things like that don't quite jump out at you, that they're not said straight up, but they're there all the time. You know, like that cleaner that'll get that glue off of that glass. There's things in here that you have to search for, that you have to really study. And full confession, I have been for many, many years a Christian who read my word, but I didn't study it. And you know, the last time that I spoke to you, I was admonishing all of you that you should really consider getting a study Bible. And the reason I say that is all those little references in the center column and the footnotes and the maps and the concordance and all that stuff, it opens things up so, so much. And then even further, you know, when I study, I usually have either a phone or a tablet or a computer there, and being able to look up things like the Hebrew or, you know, things like that, it's just invaluable. And it's I'm saying that for most of my Christian life, when I read, because I wasn't always faithful to that either, when I read, I was reading, but I wasn't studying, and there's really a huge difference. And I've never had a quote desire to get up and preach in front of a crowd. But one of the things that I really do get out of it that I enjoy, and it doesn't just apply to Scripture, because at work, I used to do a lot of teaching and seminars and stuff like that at work. Man, when you have to teach something, even things that you think you have a very intimate knowledge of, and that doesn't apply to me here with the Scripture, okay, because that's something I have to really work at. But even technical things, engineering-type stuff that I really know, when I get ready to teach a course on it, through the process of trying to figure out how to explain it and teach it to somebody else, excuse me, I get dots that were there all along, but that I myself had never connected. But when I'm there to try and figure out how to teach something to somebody else, those dots start to connect. It's like, wow, you know, I never thought about it like that before. So, again, my admonishment is to study the Bible. Don't just read it. It is the key, and I'm going to continue saying this throughout my message. You know, our spiritual tests, our trials, our challenges, the things that we fight with. Excuse me. I'm going to drink some of your water, Pastor.
It's yours.
Thank you. Okay. But the things that we fight with, we fight when the answer's there. So, the Word. Go back to the Word. All right. So we said that when we're born again, it's our spirit that is born again, not our soul or our body. You can feel the soul and the body, but you can't feel your spirit. Access to the Spirit comes only through faith. And how does faith come? Through the Word of God. And I'm going to flesh this out a little bit more than that. The Spirit cannot be seen. It can be revealed to us only through the Word. Nobody's ever seen somebody's spirit. The only way that you can see the Spirit, which is life, it's the core of our lives, is in the Word. There's things that you learn about yourself that you wouldn't know unless you read them in the Word. The Word judges us. If it weren't for the Word, would we know what sin is? Would we know what salvation is? It's in here for us. Without this, we don't know. It's our compass. Even in our country, those who are not saved, who are not Christians, there's some sort of a moral code. That moral code, it's in this book, but it ties the temporal moral code to the spiritual reality, to the spiritual grace. And again, it's the cookbook. It tells us how to do the Christian life. Another thing about our spirit. Our spirit has the same power that raised Christ from the dead. As Christians, that is where our power lies. It's in the Spirit. We have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Not just Christ, but, you know, the apostles were told, you know, all these things that I've done, you'll do these and even more. That power resides in the spirit, not in the soul, and certainly not in the body. All right. Here's kind of a trick question. How many of you have ever seen yourself, really seen yourself? Looked yourself in the eye? It's a trick question because the answer is no one. Nope, I can't see my eyes. I can see out of them. I can't see into my eyes. You say, well, you can look in a mirror. Okay, mirrors can be distorted. If you want an example of that, go see my little 10-year-old granddaughter who'll take a picture of you with her phone and show it to you, and you got clown, you know, Dumbo ears and an elephant trunk and, you know, pictures, reflections when you look at the water. You know, the water, if the water's not flat, if you go into a funny house, the mirrors are curved and, you know, you're fat one part, skinny the other part. Reflections can be distorted. But we see our spirit by comparing our life to this word. And this word is truth. That's the truth that we want to believe in, truth over fact. And that's where we're headed. But this truth is not like a mirror. It's not like a cell phone picture. It's not like water. This truth cannot be distorted. This truth is truth. You can't trust a mirror. You can't trust a cell phone image. You can't trust the picture, but you can trust this word. All right. What is the soul? The soul, the Hebrew word is nefesh, and Hebrew being backwards, the word after it is haya, which means living. So living soul is nefesh haya. I always thought haya was what my middle son played when I was building my old house in Old Metairie, and I had the whole house foamed in and styrofoam board, and him and his friend made swords and played hi-ya and chopped my house up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no. Okay. Under spirit, we talked about whether or not animals had a spirit. Creatures. In the Hebrew, all creatures are referred to as souls, that nefesh. Same word that's used for the human soul, nefesh. You'll see that in the King James Version. It says souls. It doesn't say creatures or some of the I forget what some of the, it says living something or other, but it's referring to all of the animals of the earth and all the fish of the sea are described as nefesh, which are souls. So there you go. You know, animals, do they have a spirit? I think so. Do they have a soul? Absolutely, if you believe the word, and I do. Again, animals and us, we're here to talk about us. The soul is the center of our thought, our intellect, our memory, our experiences, and our motivation, just like our heart. It's kind of considered the heart part of that. So our soul is who we see when we relate to one another. Now, all of us who are saved, our spirit's going to go to heaven. Does our soul? Absolutely. Our soul, we're going to have personalities, quirky ones like mine, in heaven. But our soul does go to heaven with our spirit. We will be individuals in heaven, just like we're individuals on earth. We're not just some corporate, you know, everybody's the same. Doesn't work like that. And we're going to talk a little bit more towards the end of this about the soul's importance, because it's very much key. The body. What is the body? The Hebrew word for body is gava. And I don't have a clue if I'm pronouncing these words correctly. I didn't look up the pronunciation, but so I could be completely off on it. Kind of like those of us who say tortillas instead of tortillas. Who knows? All right. The body can be separated from the soul and the spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We've all heard that before, and in that our hope lies. The body is corruptible, and it decays. I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody about anything spiritual and not included some of my beliefs about evolution and creation and everything else. I absolutely, positively do not believe in evolution. Everything in life points to de-evolution. We're not getting better. We're not getting stronger. We're not getting smarter. It's exactly the opposite. You know, the laws of thermodynamics says that we're all in decay. Everything around us is in decay. That's not evolution, folks. That's de-evolution. I've mentioned it before that I believe our ancestors were so much more brilliantly smart than we are as individuals. You know, we tend to think, when we think back in the New Testament days, I don't know about you, but my default, just because of the things I've been taught, I think of everything being archaic. Everything's tan and stone and sand. And the people, you know, they eat food that doesn't taste like anything, and you know, nothing is as special as we have nowadays. But in the Word, it talks about, does not even a child know how to order the galaxies of Orion, and I don't even remember the other one. I couldn't point it out if you had a gun to my head. But yet a child knows each star in that galaxy back then. I have a brother-in-law, and I've used this example before. I have a brother-in-law who is an evangelistic atheist. He just, yeah. We've had conversations, and I've used this on him before. I said, if we could build a time machine and take a person from, let's say, 1 AD and transport him into our days, and then take you and transport you into 1 AD. Within a week, that person, even if it was a child, he would have food, he would have shelter, he would know where he was by the galaxies, he would know what time of year it was by the galaxies. You know, he'd be able to clothe himself, feed himself, keep himself warm. You'd be balled up in the fetal position, naked, hungry, and cold. You know, we have collective knowledge, most of us carrying in our pocket as a cell phone, as a computer. But we don't know a fraction of what our ancestors did. So anyway, I got a little bit off track there, and I apologize. The body is corruptible and decays. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Back to truth over fact, right? The corruptible is what we are, but we must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. That's a little bit easier to relate to, because we are mortal, and we all have the hope and the faith that when we die, we will be immortal. We will live eternally with our God in heaven. That one's a little bit easier to relate to. But again, it goes back to truth over fact. We are temporal. Temporal means, and I didn't look up the root words and everything, but it means that we're temporary. This body is temporary. Our spirit and our soul are not. All right, so the conclusions. When we become new creations in Christ, that happens in the spirit, but not the body or soul, as we've already said. The body and the soul are works in progress. The spirit is complete. Whatever spiritual gifts we have, they were given to us all at once. We have access to all of that in the spirit. Even though our body decays and our soul needs working on. When I say our soul needs working on, again, that's part of the difference that sharp two-edged sword dividing between soul and spirit, right? The soul does not automatically change at the point of salvation. It requires work. How do you work on your soul? There's only one way. It's by reading, studying, and following the Word of God, the truth. All right. It is the spirit which is born again. Oh, I'm sorry. The spirit which is born again is complete, but the body or the soul will always need work until we receive our glorified bodies. 1 Corinthians 13:9-12, and it speaks about our glorified bodies. And at that point, we will know in totality the things that we don't know now. We'll be know-it-alls when we get our glorified bodies. There won't be any more sickness. There won't be any more pain. I know Pastor's not happy about being a vegetarian again, but you'll be a vegetarian probably because I think that's where we go if there is even food in heaven. Although,
there'll be food.
Yes. Okay. All right. Our minds can be renewed. That's our soul. And we renew it through the Word of God, not through our experiences. How many of us, and I dare say all of us at some point in our Christian walk, we're hobbyists when it comes to Christianity? We, again, like I said before, when I read, which was not all of the time, when I read my word, I was reading it. I wasn't absorbing it. I wasn't studying it. I wasn't dissecting it. You know, for how many years did I go to church? And that was my Christian walk. That's a hobby. That's the way you pursue a hobby. It's not the way you pursue a lifestyle. Not just when it's convenient, not just when you're in certain circles. So, I admonish you, go to this word. We renew our minds. When we renew our minds, that's how we access the power of our spirit, by reading the word. And we all know that as a man thinketh, so is he. If you're thinking on the word, if you're dissecting it, if it's part of your daily life, if it becomes your diet spiritually, because again, spirit, that which is born of the flesh is a flesh food, spirit is spirit, this is your spiritual food. The things that we miss out on, the things I almost got, the things that I missed were the times that the answer was here and I didn't know it. So that's our spiritual food. When your spirit and your soul agree, you know, not believe, you know the truth over the fact. That's when your body no longer overpowers your soul and spirit, which proclaim that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. Here's the real key to everything about spirit, soul, and body. Talked earlier about how your spirit is separated from your body. You want to be healed? And folks, I'm no healing minister and I don't claim to be, but I believe this truth. I know this is truth, right? But your soul is the gateway, the gatekeeper between your spirit and your body. When you feed your soul through the words, through the word, your soul agrees with your spirit. It lines up there. Your body is living in the fact world. Your body relates to what it can see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. So if your soul aligns with the spirit, it allows that power. Let me give you a visual. Flashlight. Within this flashlight, there is power. There is a switch. That power is your spirit. That's where your power resides, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That power is in your spirit. The switch is your soul. Now, if your soul agrees with your spirit, you get something useful. If your soul agrees with your body, that which can be seen, heard, tasted, smelled, and felt, that valve is closed. That light switch is off. The power that is in your spirit can only reach your body by going through your soul. If your soul does not believe the truth of the spirit, of the word, and instead believes the fact of what your body is experiencing, then that valve is closed. Your soul is the key to connecting your spirit and your body. And again, I don't stand up here and by any means proclaim to be some sort of a healing minister, any kind of a minister, other than just sharing the gospel. But if you want to be healed supernaturally and your brain doesn't believe it, think about all the times when Jesus healed when he was here on earth. It was through belief. They believed and they were healed. An interesting example that I had heard was about a woman who there was a minister who, you know, had a healing ministry. And a woman had severe sight problems, vision problems. He prayed over, told her to close her eyes and pray over. And he prayed over and he said, "Can you see now?" And she opened her eyes. He said, "Close your eyes." And he prayed over and he said, "Can you see now?" And she opened her eyes. He said, "Close your eyes." And a third time, he prayed over and he said, "Can you see now?" And she opened her eyes and he explained to her, "You need to see it in your soul. If you don't see it in your soul, you're not going to see it in your body. Your soul is the gatekeeper between your spirit and your body. That faith, truth over fact. Because again, your body lives in the factual world. But, you know, the supernatural, the power is unlocked when your soul and your spirit agree. And I keep harping on it, and I'm going to harp on it again. How do you get your soul to agree with your spirit? In the pages of this book. You know, we're all practicing, and it takes work. It takes study. Most of all, it takes faith. And that's what our spirit is. It's what connects them all. All of that power, all of the miracles that Jesus did, that resides in our spirit. Every bit of that power. To speak to mountains, can you imagine being able to exercise that power? The only way you'll ever imagine it is through faith and study in this word. If you never read it, again, that power's, the battery power is sitting there. But the only way to access it is through the switch to get it to the light. You know, in electrical engineering, we refer to that power that we call it potential energy. We have all of God's potential energy. Everything that Jesus did, we have that power in us. The scripture says it. That same power is within us. So renew your soul, your mind, and your thinking through the study of the Word. That is the only way to overcome, and that's what we're trying to do. We are trying to overcome the facts. Boy, is that relevant in 2020. 2020 has been a year. We're trying to overcome the facts with the faith. We're trying to overcome what we see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. And that the only way that happens is by believing the truth over the fact. And that is the end. I apologize. I tried to make it a little bit short because we have communion today. And what you hear here was the culmination of study and research and everything. And I was just so enthralled with the things that I was finding that it's like I couldn't get too much further. There's a lot more to it. But again, we are spirit, soul, and body, and we have to feed our spirit. And I dare say that there's very few of us, me included, that are not malnourished in our word. And for that, I thank you for asking me to speak, because it makes me dig in deeper. Again, much deeper than I would if I were just reading it out of curiosity, which is a lot of the stuff that I read and talk about. It's driven by curiosity, spiritual curiosity, but it's just not the same as how do you explain this to somebody else? So I hope and pray that I made some sort of sense, and if not, go grab a flashlight.
Very good. When I introduced Danny, I told you that he liked to study and dig in, and you can tell he's been digging in. That was good. That was a lot of good thought and work that he put into it, and that's when you know the Word of God. I don't want to re-preach his sermon, but one of the things that you were saying, Danny, that I say in a different way when it comes to repentance. And it's such an abused word, because when we say that, everybody thinks of remorse and sorrow, and that is not repentance. It's a metanoia, which means a changed thinking. And that's what you're talking about, changing thinking, because If you apply it this way, when John the Baptizer was here and Jesus said the same thing, he said, change the way you think, because the kingdom is here. So using what Danny had to say, we need to learn about the kingdom instead of the flesh. The law was all about the flesh. That's why we're not under the law. We're under the Spirit. Jesus brought spirit and life. And we need to learn about it. We need to learn how to turn that switch on. So great job, Danny. I appreciate that. Thank you for all your hard work.
Hallelujah. You know, that brought up what you said, brought up another thought. When it came to healing in the Old Testament, the only way people were ever had a hope of being healed in the Old Testament was by fulfilling the law,
mm-hmm.
which is next to impossible.
Yeah.
Whereas under grace, we've got it.
Yes.
It's been given to us.
Yes.
But under the law, you had to try to earn it. And just, I meant to put that in there and I forgot about it. But it was incredible that, the gift that we were given under grace instead of having to live under the law.
Exactly. Very good. That's good. You can feed off of that for a while, the things that Danny put out. And I appreciate the effort. It takes time to do that. I know that many times people feel, oh, well, preachers just work for an hour on Sunday, you know, get up and do it. Well, it doesn't work that way. I mean, it takes a lot of digging, because if you want to speak the truth, you have to know it. And it means you have to plow through it and to get it. And it changes you. I promise you, Danny is more full by what he said than we are by what we heard. That spurred us along. Good teaching does this. It inspires us to change the way we think. Because when we change the way that we think, we change what we believe. Because now we follow the Spirit instead of the flesh. And if we change what we believe, it changes the way we act in the flesh and in the Spirit. So, good stuff. Well, today is... before I get into that, I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. And for those, again, say one more time, thank you for filling in. And Nick was our MC, did a great job. I appreciate you jumping up and doing that. Give it. Thank you. Do you know that psychology will tell you that the greatest fear of man is not dying? The greatest fear of man is speaking publicly. Oh, yeah, that people scared to death to do it. Some people won't do it. And also, to get up and speak publicly, it takes overcoming your natural inclinations and to just, I don't want to say that, I don't want to do that. So thank you, Nick, for doing that for me. I appreciate it. Those of you who are watching over Facebook and watching us over the Internet, thank you for tuning in. I pray that the Lord blesses you. And the Lord keeps you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.